killed James. And Peter was next in line. But verse 5 says, but constant or earnest prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And what happened to Peter? God sent an angel and delivered him. Otherwise, he would have been killed as well. It's important that we pray. Really important. So this morning, I'm going to talk about habits of the mind. Habits of the mind. I did a course about 20 years ago on it. And unfortunately, I didn't keep my notes. But I guess it's good because it has forced me to redo it, basically, and to soak in that stuff all over again. And it's amazing how many things have kind of slipped away over the last 20 years. So you'll be forgiven, those who are here who don't remember everything. Was anyone actually, there was a few here. So we're going to start Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I have two translations here that are most interesting. Romans chapter 12, of course, it's a familiar verse too. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the common English Bible says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is. The New International Version says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So both of them are talking about patterns. Another word for patterns might be habits. Habits of the mind. Patterns of the mind. You and I have patterns in our mind. We have mindsets. We have ways that we think, ways that predispose us to receive information. You could have 10 people receive the same information and have 10 different interpretations. Because our mindset predisposes us to receive information through a variety of just ways of interpreting how we think, what we think. And those patterns or those habits have come from previous experiences. Interestingly, in Proverbs chapter 12, you don't have to turn there because we're going to come to it a little later, but I just want to read to you from Proverbs chapter 12 what the Bible says about anxiety and depression. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Anxiety in the heart of a person causes depression. And we're going to talk about what that anxiety is. There's a maxim that says, sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The little things that we do over time have tremendous impact in our lives. These are the things that we do consistently. They influence us. They predispose us. What we do habitually, the habits that you and I have, those habits feed our souls. They affect and they influence our souls. And they can do so in a positive manner, and they can do so in a negative manner. Now the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. Everybody's got a mind, everybody's got a will, We all have emotions. We have a spirit, and we live in a body. In fact, I believe that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let me just make sure that's correct. Yes. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. The body, we will leave here on earth. Hang on. The soul, we will take with us. And the spirit, of course, will go immediately into the presence of God. So we're talking about habits and thoughts. And thoughts can take place anywhere, and they frequently do. They can take the form of recalled memories, things that we have experienced growing up, particularly in our homes. And again, they can be positive or they can be negative. Typically, it's a combination of the two. If you think back to experiences you had in your home growing up, it will either give you a warm, fuzzy feeling, or it will evoke feelings of isolation, frustration, anxiety, anger perhaps, rejection. All of those things. We have the positive ones and we have the negative ones. And the more we think about them, the more we dwell upon them, the more influence they have in our lives today. You cannot escape them. And they can often take place in the form of a self-conversation. Talking to ourselves. We talk to ourselves, even if we don't do it out loud. In fact, some of our conversations are pretty interesting, no doubt. And we come to conclusions. They may not be the right conclusions, but we come to conclusions because as we talk to ourselves and we process it out, we come to a decision, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, we make decisions about our experiences, how we feel about them, whether they have helped us or not helped us. And that influences the person that we are today. So reflection can be a good thing if we're reflecting on positive memories. How we are living right now, the things that we predispose us, our filters, they have come about through the habits we formed. The habits have come from the experiences that we've had. If you have had bad experiences with dogs, for example, then just the mere sight of a dog, regardless of its size, coming near you will evoke anxiety. Doesn't matter whether they're muzzled or friendly, not friendly, because we are creatures who respond to what's in here. What do we think about? How often do we think it? And unfortunately, those thoughts don't have to have any degree of accuracy. They don't have to reflect reality. And frequently they don't. What happens is that we have an experience, we see it in a particular light, and we come to a conclusion. Now that conclusion may be completely wrong, but it doesn't matter. It's our conclusion. And so we tuck that away as a truth, a vital truth, which has an influence on the person that we are today. Only God can help us to change those things. What we think of ourselves, what we think of the things we've accomplished or not accomplished, all of those thoughts have been a fuel, if you will, that have brought us, that have filled us and brought us to the place of where we are today. I am, what is it, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a person who thinks in his heart or his mind, so is he. The things that we think in our minds are the thoughts that have flown through over the years. For some people, if you mention the word mother, it can evoke all kinds of emotional responses. If you've had a kind and loving mother, then warm feelings come up and you think kind and gracious thoughts. If you had a mother who wasn't, then it brings other thoughts up. If you had a cold and distant father, then the word father means certain things. All of those feelings that arise are based on thoughts that came in here. But more importantly, they are based on the interpretation of those thoughts. You see, if I perceive that you reject me, it doesn't really matter whether you reject me or not. If I perceive that you have, then I will respond accordingly. I respond to the rejection. If I perceive that you're angry with me, then I respond to that. And you may not be angry. Sometimes somebody walks by you and their minds are consumed with something that happened to them, has nothing to do with you whatsoever, but they're angry as they're processing what happened, and you say, good morning, Charlie, how are you? And they go, And you feel rejected. Because of that, you're feeling angry. For some people, that's enough to make them feel worthless. There are all kinds of psychological responses to the same situation. What we do with those thoughts is so critically important, because those thoughts, they influence us, they affect us, they mold us, they direct us, they help us form the opinion of who we are and what we are and what our potential is. And yet we don't give a lot of regard to it, do we? See, you didn't just happen to turn out the way you are. You're the product, and I am the product, of all the things that have happened to us. Is that a bit overwhelming? Sometimes. Sometimes it's a lot overwhelming. The good news is we can change the things that we're not happy about. We can change our worldview. We can change our view of self. We can change the parts within us where we feel desolate, isolated, and so forth. That's the good news. The not quite as good news is that it takes effort to do this. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It takes work. It takes commitment. We didn't get in the state we're in overnight, and we won't change it overnight. But God can and will help us to change it. Because a lot of times, people have a lot of anxiety hidden away. A lot of anxiety. And the Bible says, we just read from Proverbs 12:25, what does it say? Anybody remember? Anxiety in the heart causes depression. But a good word makes the heart glad. Many times people wonder, what causes depression? Isn't that amazing how God just puts the answer there? Now, there are many forms of anxiety. There are many sources of anxiety. But if anxiety sits in the heart long enough, it's going to have a significant influence. Because that anxiety influences the way we interpret everything that happens to us. Everything. And that's where you can see how someone who lives a very fearful life, or who has not been nurtured or cared for and has not received any kind of significant input in terms of empathy and just caring, those people tend to become very self-absorbed, me, myself, and I type, where they have a hard time looking beyond themselves, caring for other people, hard time putting themselves in someone else's position, or even caring what the other person's position is. And see, if you're going to walk with God, you have to change that. You have to change that. So this course is going to help us how to change some of the deep-seated neurosis, if you will, that we have. And it will help us, if we'll apply it, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make changes for ourselves and for those that we love and care about. Because God is in the business of changing people. And that's where the Bible says, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world. Patterns of the world are things that are so simple in the sense of get mine before you get yours. I always get vengeance. I look after me. It's always selfish. But the heart of God brings us to a place of responding in the grace of God with the mindset of the Holy Spirit. And God will help us to do that. He will help us to do that. If we'll embrace it. If we'll embrace it. God's word is the best medicine you'll ever find for your soul. Amen. It's the best medicine. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a person thinks in his heart, so is he." That means your heart reflects your thoughts. Your mind reflects your thoughts. What I am today, or who I think I am today, is the person that my mind thinks I am. Now, that doesn't have to be accurate. In fact, it's often not accurate. But just in general, a kind person thinks kind thoughts. An angry person thinks angry thoughts. Now, that sounds very simple. But you know, when you ask someone, what are you thinking about? They have such difficulty identifying things. It's hard to say, my thoughts are mostly angry. Because that doesn't put me in a very good light. My thoughts are mostly selfish. Who wants to admit to that? My thoughts are full of lust. My thoughts are full of this and that. It's difficult to be honest, even with ourselves. A contented person generally thinks contented thoughts. Here's one of the biggies. A negative person generally thinks negative thoughts. Ouch. A jealous person thinks jealous thoughts. You see, as we identify them and put them into clusters, what we see is a reflection of what I'm thinking about. What am I thinking about? You see, you're never going to rise above your thoughts. And one of the things you get to learn is that you can't just say one day that, I'm just not going to have those thoughts anymore. Just not going to have them. Because the moment you make that decision, they flood in. Now, I don't want you to think about a dog. I don't want anybody here thinking about a dog. Don't think about a dog. Don't think about a black dog either. Don't think about a black dog with a red tail. Don't think about that. So that we make up our minds so we're not going to do it, but we do. It's really difficult. So that's not the way we change it. But there's a biblical way of doing it that has long-term lasting effects. And it will help us to become a more well-adjusted, happy, contented person who reflects the character of Christ. What we put in our minds, what we dwell upon, the things that we think the most about form our character. They form our character. And if I am typically, which I was, a negative person, then I will see things from that perspective. I will see, and I'll be annoyed by people who don't, by the way. Negative people are annoyed by people who don't see the negative. That is reality. And they're always looking for the one wrong thing instead of the 28 good things. They see the wrong immediately. They find something wrong with it immediately. Now, truth be told, we rarely come across anything that's perfect. Very rarely, if ever. So there's always something that we could pick up on that's less than perfect. And the negative person will find it. They will search until they find the negative thing. The problem with that is that over time it destroys the soul. Because the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, is predisposed now to look for the one thing that is not good. And so we have difficulty responding to God because we see God the same way. You can't see the universe like this and God differently. We see God as a taskmaster. We see the Word of God like a whip. That God is just looking for an opportunity to stomp on me. Or if I make a mistake, that God will be so harsh in His judgment. That's how we see Him. Negative people is. And before we can change that, we need to be willing to come to terms with admitting it. And people who are negative or jealous or angry rarely want to admit out loud, even to themselves, that that's what they are. Because I'm not negative, I just see things as they really are. I'm not angry, you just annoy me. That's reality for people who are like that. And see, you're fortunate because I had all those traits, see? It's not true, dear. It is what it is. I was a very angry person. Actually, I had a spirit of anger. I've told that to people before. And did not interpret events correctly. And I'll spare you the details, but until I came to the place of being willing to admit that that existed within me, I couldn't change. I didn't want to change. Did not want to change. It took probably close to a year to be free of the spirit of anger. And that was after the decision was made, because the devil doesn't give his territory up easily. You know, if he's used to having access to you in a particular area, he doesn't rejoice at the when you say, "I'm not going to be like that anymore." He redoubles his efforts to try to draw you back into it. If you are a negative person, same thing. It's very difficult initially. Initially, just to admit it, and then to embrace the working of the Holy Spirit into your deep recesses of your heart and let Him work. See, because you can't, faith doesn't grow in an environment that's negative. It doesn't grow. That's like trying to grow something in darkness. It won't grow. And so sometimes I think, why is my faith working? Well, one of the reasons for some is you're too negative. That's difficult for some people. But if you're always focusing on the negative, it's very difficult to develop a heart of faith. And you see, the modern mind, and you can read through Romans chapter 1 for the details of that, but the mind that has not been touched by the Word of God or renewed by the Spirit of God can't relate to the things of God and is deeply influenced by the thought patterns of the world. Deeply influenced. And if we want to change that, we have to make a determined effort. And that's why we have so many people today that are experiencing so much emotional turmoil in their lives. All kinds of turmoil. And some go to therapy and that. I was reading a report a couple of weeks back where it was saying that 75% of therapy basically is wasted. It doesn't really change things. And in fact, they weren't saying the other 25% was successful, but I guess it was to some degree. But when you leave God out of the equation, nothing works well. Nothing works well. God and His Word are the tools, not that God is a tool, but His Word is the tool that God gave us to be transformed. Someone asked me a while back, what does it mean when it says we have the mind of Christ? In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So do we have the mind of Christ? That was the question. And I've been reflecting on that for a while. And the answer finally came to me. And what do you think the answer is? You have the mind of Christ?
We have access to it, but we don't have our own access.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means we have to be conscious of developing the mind of Christ by abiding in Him and His Word abiding in us and changing the way we think so that we think like Him.
Maybe she learned something living with me, eh? You know? The mind of Christ, to put it succinctly, is right here. That's the mind of Christ, the Word of God. That's how God thinks. So if you don't have any of the Word of God in you, you don't have the mind of Christ. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. This is the mind of Christ. Now, that's step one. In order for that mind, the Word, to be productive, to influence, to produce results in me, I need something else besides that. What else do I need? I need 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's turn there for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then, of course, you can read through this, verses 9 to 14. But here's the part I want us to see. Verse 10. God has revealed them. Now, them is the things of God, the blessings, the benefits, and so forth, to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, verse 12, we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And verse 13 is where it happens. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. What does that mean? It means that for me to truly have the mind of Christ, I need the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ, and I need the Holy Spirit making and revealing that Word to me in a way I can understand. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and communicates it to my spirit in such a way that I'm able to grasp and understand what He's saying. You see what I'm saying by that? He turns words that are just words into spiritual reality in me. That's why you can read the Word of God and it has no impact. No impact. Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's just words. It's just words. And my mind can read it and say, oh, I understand that. But it's not faith yet. You see, it becomes faith when it's energized. It becomes faith. You can read that, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And think, that's great. But I'm still sick. I need that word to become real to me. I need it. I need verses like this to become rhema in my spirit. I need that in order for it to produce something. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. That's why we can't relate to God with our intellect. We try to, but we can't. Because God is a spirit, and He communicates to you and I, spirit to spirit. But for most of us, I mean, I was almost 30 years old when I got saved. I didn't even know what a spirit was. I thought, well, a spirit, to me, a spirit was, blah, 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 blah. That's what spirits were, you know. It never occurred to me there was any other kind of spirit. God wants to impart to us supernatural grace in order to receive His Word and allow it to transform us, change us, so that we can increasingly have Christ formed in us. Galatians 4:19 is the mandate here in our church, that Christ be formed in us. Christ be formed in us. Because without that, we're lost. We're lost. That's why as Christians, it's critical that we have our minds renewed by the Word of God, because that Word can shape the way we think. It can change and install and replace patterns or habits in our mind. I need patterns from God so that I don't see the world as a completely negative place. I'm not angry about everything. I need God's supernatural grace, because that Word, over time, will change me. Over time. It will change the way I think. It will change the way I interpret the events around me. At the same time, God imparts His grace, because there are some experiences that we've had that were just negative and harsh. And no amount of thinking is going to change that. It's just not going to change it. But what God can do for us is give us the grace to receive it. Mm-hmm. Just give us the grace. So that that event doesn't continue to dominate my life. You understand what I'm saying? That that experience loses its power to control my thought life. It loses it because the grace of God has been imparted to me. And I'm still aware of it, but it's not controlling me anymore. That's the grace of God, you see. And as a believer, well, even as a person, we're no better than the thoughts that stay in our minds all the time. We can't rise above that unless we start to change it. Who you are emotionally can never go beyond your level of thinking. We need the grace of God, because that can be completely overwhelming. Completely. We need the grace of God. Fortunately, God wants to give it to us. But where do we get the grace of God? From God. God has made a way in His Word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that enables us to take captive the thoughts that are harmful, the ones that are destructive, and even behavior, because some people cut themselves and do all kinds of other things, that causes grief and pain, and helps us to change those thoughts into healthy thoughts that will bring healing to our soul. Everything about us is constantly being shaped. It's being shaped by the stream of thoughts that flow through our minds on a continual basis. We're always thinking about something. About something. Some things we are consciously thinking about, and some just pass on through like a train in the night. However, as they pass on through, they deposit their goodies, which we may be completely unaware of at that time. But two or three days later, all of a sudden you kind of wake up one morning and boy, you feel awful. And you're just feeling resentful and angry and all kinds of just bad feeling. And you don't know what happened. Has anyone ever had that experience? You think, how did this happen? What's going on? But you see, what happened is that the circumstance or the situation that happened a couple of days ago, it didn't get dealt with. It just passed through. We didn't even realize what it was doing at the time. But it still has its effect on us. Again, that's where we need the help of the Holy Spirit to identify, take control over, and replace. And that takes the help of God. But we're going to learn how to do that. There is a method to use. We learn how to think in a healthy manner. And the Word of God, of course, is the best place to learn how to think properly. In 2 Timothy, let me just read to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who rightly divides the word of truth. And that's the key, rightly divides the word of truth. Because initially, a person who has very unhealthy thinking habits can read the word of God, but they read the word the same way they see everything else. Negative. So what they focus in on is how God is a harsh taskmaster instead of the God of grace. And that's really important, because if we want to change our thinking, if we want to change the person that we are, We have to rightly divide the Word of God. And sometimes we need help to do that. We need help. That's why God has places like church, so that we can come together and learn. You know, I remember one message that I was in, first got saved, or was thinking about getting saved, and the pastor was talking about the Pharisees. There's a passage that says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, it's over for you. Is that familiar with anybody? It's not over for you. That's not what it says. But it's, you get the meaning. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I heard that, and I was getting up to leave. Because I thought, if they're not getting in, there's no hope for me. Yeah. But fortunately, he said, maybe God inspired him to do this, but he said, now, don't quit on me now. Wait till I'm done. Now, if he hadn't said that, I was leaving. And, of course, then I found out what that meant, and that gave me a whole different perspective. See, my first interpretation was wrong. It was wrong. My view of the word, what I was hearing, was wrong. And I needed help. I needed help to understand what I was being told. We don't always get everything right the first time. That's why we need help. That's why we need to spend time in the Word. We learn how to rightly divide the Word of God, how to apply it properly, how to integrate the truths that we're learning or that we embrace from the Word of God. We learn how to do that. The disciples, Jesus' disciples, failed constantly. Constantly. I mean, they just had a major disaster where they none of their faith was working. I think it's in Mark 9. Praying for this kid who was demonized. And they said to Jesus, why didn't it work? It says, because of the littleness of your faith. Oh, okay. Do you know what they did next? Right after that. They didn't go, geez, we need to work on our faith. You know, that's not what they did. Right after that, they're going, I'm the best. No, I'm better than he is. You know, you read it, you'll see. They were fighting among themselves who was the greatest. Right after. So you can see the impact that that had on them. And yet Jesus didn't give up on them. Isn't that amazing? He didn't give up on them. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, the Word of God is useful to help us in every single area of our lives. We learn through the help of the Holy Spirit how to apply that. And I'll just do another minute or two and then we'll be done for this week. One of the keys is learning to be able and to be willing to see ourselves honestly. See ourselves, we have a hard time doing that. We have a difficult time looking at ourselves honestly. We always err on the side of, I'm better than I think I am. Or I think I'm better than I am, rather. If we're going to change habits and mindsets, we have to be willing to look at it honestly, truthfully. We need to receive the grace of God to help us to change the right areas. What do I mean by that? Well, if you come into a gas station for a flat tire, because you have a flat on your car and they change your engine oil, that's great. But it doesn't do a thing for your flat tire, does it? You still have the flat tire. See, too many times people apply the wrong thing in their lives because not willing to be honest with God. not willing to see the real truth, the to change the area that needs to be changed. Can you understand what I'm saying by that? That we need to be honest before God. And to change the actions that result, because thoughts always come before feelings and actions. We feel this way and then behave like that. So if we want to change that, we've got to identify the right source. The right source. And God will help us to do that if we're willing to be honest. So, have we had enough? I think so, eh? Okay. All right, so we're on page 12 of 194. No, I'm kidding. Lord, thank you that you are a kind and gracious person, that you help us, you care about us, and that you're willing to work with us no matter where we're at. God, I pray that you will help us, each and every one of us, to be able to embrace the working of the Holy Spirit in us. Help us, Lord. Because our desire is to become more Christ-like. Help us. We're getting ready for heaven, Jesus. And we want to be ready. We want healing in our soul and healing in our bodies. We want our mind and our emotions to be restored. And we need God's help. We need your help. So Lord, next week we're going to talk about the root, getting right to the root. We need to identify the root honestly and sincerely before God and then deal with it. So let me encourage you to take the three scriptures that I gave last night, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, and Hosea 10, chapter 10, verse 12. Read those scriptures, soak in them, pray over them, ask God what they mean, and how do they apply to your life. Amen. Any questions?